Why does God speak to us through prophets instead of simply talking to us face to face? Welcome to The Good Word. This week begin a new series on The Good Word, the prophetic gift in Scripture and Adventist history. My name is Alden Thompson. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas and Stravko Stefanovic. All of us are from the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Welcome.
Thank you, Alden.
Thank you.
Now, the question that I opened with is one I would like for us to address. But, Stravko, as we began this, you told me the most amazing story about your grandmother, who used to be a fortune teller, prophetic guidance in the old mode. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that and how that has shaped your thinking?
That's what she was before she became practicing Christian. And the reason why she did that was that was between the two world wars in Europe, and the situation was very difficult economically. She lost two husbands, times were dangerous. She had kids, and she was convinced that she couldn't take care of them. And that was combined together with the excessive use of alcohol and other problems. But that was also one means of income for her.
Was it a genuine gift? Did she have insight? How does she look back on that after she became a Christian?
She stopped doing it once she became a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And she became a very happy person, especially because of her lifestyle. She had been told by her physician that she was left with about 6 weeks to live. But with after surrendering her life to Christ and with all the lifestyle changes, she lived for another, 12, 15 years afterwards, a very happy and fulfilled life.
Now, let's start with that experience. The question I raised was, why doesn't God just come and talk directly to us? Why does he use prophets and so on? Did she have an experience of direct revelation, or did she meet other Christians? Was it her own study of the Bible? How did God speak to her to bring her to a commitment to Jesus?
Well, she came into a situation out of which there was no way. And basically, through a ministry of compassion, when two pastors visited her in the hospital, and they mentioned how Christ has power to heal, and whether he heals or not, the human being may choose to surrender his or her life to him. And they asked about her decision, and she said, well, I am willing to make the decision, and I would like to see if God's power may be displayed in my life, if God could heal me. And then if that happens, I will live my life to God's glory. So basically it was tied to her state of health, and that led her to Christ.
So in this situation, God used other human beings as mediators.
Correct.
Now, let's go back to before sin. How did God communicate in a perfect world? And what I'd like for us to do at least address briefly the issue, why the transition away from face-to-face communication?
Well, Stravko is the expert in the Old Testament, but let me jump in here, because I think one of the most beautiful pictures you can see in the whole of Scriptures are those little portions of the Genesis account where you see God coming down in the cool of the day to commune with his creation in person. And very, very beautiful picture, which ends, of course, with the coming of sin.
Now, when that happens, Dave, in a perfect world, there's no fear.
There's no fear.
There's no fear. But as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, when God came walking, they were afraid.
Yeah, that's an interesting little collection of verses there. You see Adam and Eve hiding away from the Creator, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you think about it. I think it's intrinsic.
Could we also say that with the entrance of sin into the world, life became unpredictable and dangerous? And because of that, a new need was created, and that is to predict the future. And prophetic utterances outside of the Bible focus so much on that. And that is what my grandmother did. And we do have prediction or predictive statements in the Bible, but I think that that is not the main focus.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to address what theologians typically talk about, the difference between general and special revelation, or natural and special revelation. The general refers to that which we can find by looking at the world around us. Special involves more direct intervention by God. Why doesn't God use, or maybe he does use, general revelation? What are its strengths and weaknesses?
Well, you know, general revelation is that which is generally available, but in turn it's only general in content. Psalm 19, I think, is a good explanation of that, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, but it goes on to talk about how there's not really any speech. So, general revelation, I think, is widely regarded to be very powerful in its ability to give you a sense of the majesty and the power and the grandeur of God, but it doesn't tell you very much in any kind of detail.
And is there an ambiguity there in general revelation?
Well, sure, but I think general revelation is very important. There are some theologians who point out that one of the effects of general revelation is the emergence or the sustaining of a certain enmity that human beings have against evil and wrong. That's part of general revelation. It shows up, as kind of a blueprint in the human mind against evil.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the Bible, while God shifts away from direct face-to-face contact in general, there are still notable exceptions, especially in Genesis, where God seems to come still in person to talk to Abraham, to wrestle with Jacob. How do we explain those notable exceptions where God still comes back and seems to speak face to face?
Even though there are no explicit explanations found in the text, we need to understand that those revelations, God coming into the world, and by the way, that happened repeatedly according to the Old Testament record, God's glory must have been veiled. And I would take the expression that God talked face to face to some people as idiomatic, meaning to say, like friend speaks with a friend, or a manifestation of God's presence, but definitely that God's holiness was veiled, otherwise it would consume anyone in the presence of God.
In fact, there are a couple of instances in the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, where you find the person who has been in contact with God all of a sudden horrified that it's happened, but they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
After Jacob wrestles with the angel, for example, he called it a face of God, but you know, I've seen God, yet my life is preserved. Same way in Exodus 24, where it says, they saw the God of Israel, they ate and drank, but there, that interesting phrase, he did not lay his hand on them. Mm-hmm. As if they knew that if you get too close in your sinful state to God, that the conditions were really pretty sobering.
And in the Pentateuch, very often when God revealed himself, the first introduction of the person says, the messenger of God appeared, and then there is a transition to God. So there was some kind of intermediary in question before the person became aware that this was either God himself or an emissary from God. And later the Targums would try to elaborate on it even more by saying only the presence of God was there, but, you know, something like that, something else.
That's very intriguing. Well, let's take a quick survey. We don't have a lot of time left in this lesson, but let's take a quick survey on the various methods that God has used. We've talked a bit about nature, which is general revelation. Then we have the prophets. Can we make a general statement about the function of prophets, Old Testament and New Testament? Were they consistent? Were they always there? Do you elect a prophet? Or is it God's choice? How do we explain the occasional presence of prophets, which I think is probably the best way to describe them?
Probably the persons and the offices of the prophet clustered around the time of important events in salvation history, and especially in a time of crisis like exile or the people of Israel coming out of Egypt and so on. Because the prophets were primarily spiritual leaders of God's people.
And see, I'm fascinated by what happened right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, where, you know, the people come to Moses and they say, look, we don't like all the fire and smoke and the earthquake, so you go and talk with God, and then, you know, you come back and tell us, and we'll act, we'll treat what you say as if it came from God. And I mean, I think that that's kind of the place where I place the official inauguration of the whole prophetic ministry, because in Deuteronomy 18, you then have a reiteration of this, and Moses actually says to them that you can expect on an ongoing basis that at certain times a prophet will emerge who will speak for God.
And in the chapters that follow, God says, if I go with you, I will destroy you. And he says, my messenger, my presence will go ahead of you. So someone was appointed to lead these Israelites because they were just too sinful.
Now, when we come to the New Testament, maybe a quick comment, Stravko. You were talking with me about the role of prophecy in the New Testament as compared to Old Testament. Would you like to give just a few lines there on how one would make that comparison?
One could make a point, the following point, by saying that the objective, ultimate objective of all prophecy is Jesus Christ. So in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has appeared, and anyone who proclaims Christ's name and preaches in the name of Christ is a prophet in the wider sense of the term prophet.
But doesn't that water down the special prophetic calling? Now, this quarter we're going to be talking about especially the prophetic gift in Adventism, manifested in the experience of Ellen White, and that's a fairly special one. Is that model then more after the Old Testament prophetic gift, where you have a person called rather than each one of us?
Both are present in the New Testament.
Both,
but I would not, say that speaking or proclaiming the name of Christ is watering down on anything. That's the highest honor that one can have.
Okay. The last time that is mentioned in our survey this time is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And the New Testament makes it really quite clear that Jesus is the superior revelation of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 and 2 says that God spoke in many and varied ways in the past, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. And we'll have an opportunity to talk more about that, but our time is up for this week. Next week, our topic will be, more specifically, the prophetic gift. My conversation partners again will be Dave Thomas and Stravko Stefanovic. My thanks to Josiah Hakarot, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.